Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Min Dong. 1 week until the college basketball season tips off.
Yes, sir. One more week till this college basketball season begins. Just really excited to get to it. And today's episode, a good episode, as we have the Big 12 up today. Obviously, a very great conference with a lot of good teams in here. Obviously, I'm going to try and get the rundown right correctly on how many teams made it to March. We had Texas, we had Kansas, we had Baylor, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, West Virginia, and Oklahoma. So 7 of these 10 teams from the Big 12 made it this year. And I believe I'm correct this time. So, yeah.
Yeah, you are correct, I think. So good job.
Well, thank you very much. And obviously 10 teams in this Big 12. Going to be a little bit different next year, obviously, as Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. But this is the last year. Are they leaving next year or are they leaving in 2024? I mix up both of those two dates. They're leaving next year, right?
I couldn't tell you. I think 1 or 2 years.
So this is one of the last years regardless. They will be in this conference so before the new teams come in to the Big 12. So I'm very excited to get to today's episode as 1 week left. And just a quick side note, I went to Clemson scrimmage yesterday. A very good game for those of you that might have saw on my podcast Instagram. Shout out to our boy Devin Foster, man. He got in at the end of the game and he got his first college bucket, and I happily got a video of that and put it on Twitter, and a lot of people seem to like it. So shout out to Devin Foster. Hopefully we'll see more minutes from him as Clemson progresses with the season.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Devin, obviously from our hometown. And yeah, I saw that little Clemson basketball Instagram post too of his little layup.
Yeah, that was very good editing quality, and everything about that was just beautiful. So shout out to Clemson basketball as well. Good win over Georgia Southwest State, I believe it is. I don't remember the name, honestly. But yeah, let's just get to this Big 12 rankings, as there is a lot of great guys you can go with for Player of the Year. I'm still trying to think of who I can pick, because there's a lot of great guys you could pick here. So do you have an idea on who your Big 12 Player of the Year is going to be?
Yeah, it's Remy Martin, easily. Yeah, coming in from Arizona State, obviously played 4 years there, was an elite bucket getter. His role should change at Kansas, especially with all the talent they have around him, and he finally has some talent around him. And so, yeah, I think Remy Martin is going to be a very good player for Kansas, and Kansas is going to be a very good team.
Yeah, man, Kansas is going to be a very good team, and I'm very excited to see what they got in store, because they are going to be sweet to watch this year. Definitely one of the best in college basketball this upcoming season. I'm going to go with maybe a little bit biased. I'm going with the guy from the Hook'em, man. Hook'em Horns is back today. Very excited to get back to it. And I'm going to go with Marcus Carr from Minnesota, obviously coming over from Minnesota. Excuse me, Marcus Carr from Texas, obviously coming over from Minnesota. He is an elite scorer, an elite playmaker. He is a very good player, and I'm very excited to see him suiting up in a Texas Longhorn uniform this upcoming season. Alongside Chris Beard, I think definitely the Marcus Carr is going to be a fantastic addition, and he's going to definitely shine. I know there's a lot of great guards from this Texas squad that are coming back, and Jones and Ramey, but I really do think Marcus Carr will shine in his final year of college basketball.
I definitely agree with you. We both chose 2-star point guards that are transferring to the Big 12. So, yeah, you see what path we are in. My dark horse, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State here. They return essentially everyone except Cade Cunningham, and you guys know who Cade Cunningham is. He finally made his debut the other day. Had a solid game, I'd say. But, yeah, they return Avery Anderson III, who should be a star this year, bring a lot of good transfers. Musa Cisse from Memphis, Bryce Thompson from Kansas. And, yeah, I love Oklahoma State this year. I'm still not sure whether or not they're going to be banned from the NCAA. That case has taken 2 years now. But whatever happens, they're definitely a tournament team if the NCAA allows them to be.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I definitely think Oklahoma State it should be in contention, but it matters on if or not they're going to be eligible for it. Definitely a good team once coming back as well. I'm going to go with the dark horse team that a lot of people may have speculated about, Kansas State, man. Kansas State, you remember what happened last year. A very bad loss in the third season. What was it? Fort Hays State, maybe, or something like that. Yeah. They do return 4 stars on some of the bench. But I really do think they had a couple of great wins at the end of the last year as well in Big 12 play, especially. They do return Nigel Peck and also Mike McGurl. I do not I think you should underestimate Kansas State as a dark horse. Will they make it to March? Probably not. I think it's probably going to – we'll talk about how many teams we think it's going to be at the end of the episode. But I really do think Kansas State has a very good chance to compete and maybe have a chance to make it March. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. And now let's get to our main rankings. At number 10, every place, every conference has a last place team. I still don't know why I mix it up, that phrase, every single day or every single episode. It's just – I can't say it right in one try. But, yeah, every conference has a last-place team in the Big 12. That is Iowa State, a rebuilding program, I would say, under a new head coach, TJ Otelberger.
Definitely agree with you. Iowa State definitely the last-place team in this Big 12 conference this year. They were last year, obviously, a very disappointing season, if I do say so myself. Only some bench players do return zero starters. You'll bring Isaiah Brockington, like you just talked about, and also Gabe Kalchur from Minnesota. But I really do think it's going to be a rebuild year for new head coach TJ Otelberger. And I'm sorry if you can hear the sirens behind me. I don't know what is going on outside.
But, yeah, number 9, I'm already going to make some mid-episode switches. I'm going with Oklahoma here. Oklahoma, new head coach Porter Moser. He's going to be a great coach for this program. I can just tell. They're going to reach a lot of Final Fours under him. I think they're going to be a premier top 25 team in the foreseeable future this year. I don't think they have it. Two starters and some bench return. The Grove brothers, obviously fan favorites from Eastern Washington, they're here. Jordan Goldwire from Duke is here. They should be competitive, but I don't think this year will be their year. I think you'll see them dominating this conference, or they're going to be at the top of this conference after this year and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Oklahoma should take a down year, but should be back up relatively soon with new head coach Porter Moser. I got the one spot higher, but I do have TCU down here at number 9. It's two stars and some of the bench players do return for TCU. Bottom three team last year. This team's pretty good, but they just don't really have the talent in comparison to these top teams in the Big 12. They do return Mike Miles Jr., a very good player for USA 19 team. I definitely saw a lot of growth from him especially. And he wasn't someone I was really too familiar with on the radar. I knew RJ Nembhard was kind of the key piece for this team last year, but obviously he's gone now, so it's going to be Mike Miles Jr.'s team. They also bring in a couple of key guys, and Micah Peavy from Texas Tech and Emmanuel Miller from Texas A&M. So I really do think TCU can be competitive, and to be honest, I think 9 might be a little too low for them. So I don't know. I'm going to have to keep them here for now because I already put them here and I didn't make a switch, but if I could go back, I'd probably switch them and move them one spot up.
Yeah, at number 8 for me, I have Kansas State, your dark horse, 4 starters, some bench return. Like you said, very weird season for them last year. This year should be a lot better with the experience they have. Nigel Pack, he's going to be a star on this team. And, yeah, they're going to be very competitive.
Yeah, man, I love Kansas State this year. That's why they're my dark horse. One spot higher, though. Oklahoma sits here at number 8 for me. 2 stars and some of the bench players do return, like you just talked about earlier. Decent season last year, obviously. They got a boatload of transfers coming in, and they lost a lot of key pieces as well. But they do bring in some pretty key guys like the Grove brothers, like you talked about, from Eastern Washington, as well as Jordan Goldwire from Duke, who's a pretty surprising transfer, if I do say so myself. But I really do think Oklahoma should be competitive, but obviously needs probably 1 or 2 years to get back up with new head coach Porter Moser.
Yeah, definitely. At number 7, I have TCU here. Very surprising. 2 stars and some bench players do return. Mike Miles Jr., like you mentioned, he played for the USA team, and I think he only played for the USA team just because TCU coach Jamie Dixon was the coach of that team. But he showed a lot of good signs. He showed a lot of improvement, like you mentioned. They got a lot of good transfers as well. I think they're going to be very competitive and should win a couple games people should not expect them to win.
Definitely agree with you. Same situation kind of with Kansas State here for me, at least at number 7. 4 stars, some of the bench players do return. Like I said, man, this team had a couple bad losses, a couple good wins as well this last year. The most vivid game I can remember is that senior night game they had. I believe that was against Oklahoma or Oklahoma State that they ended up upsetting. But Kansas State definitely has upset potential in this Big 12 conference this year. Like I talked about, Nigel Pack and Mike McGarrow coming back. Don't underestimate them. They have a chance to make the march, probably a little bit slim to none, but could be an upset team in this Big 12 to radar for.
Yeah, definitely. At number 6, I got West Virginia. 3 stars, some bench players, return led by Sean McNeil, I'd say. Deuce McBride is gone. And Austin Shibue, you know about him. He's been gone. Should be a very competitive team, obviously. They're not Press Virginia anymore, but they're still a very good team.
Yeah, still a very good team. It's going to be a little bit of a different identity, I think, for West Virginia. I have them here at number six as well, like you just talked about. Three stars, some of the bench players do return. They got some pretty key guys coming back. Tosh Sherman, Sean McNeil, two of the key guys to mention. Also bringing in Malik Curry from Old Dominion. Also Pauly Polycap, one of the best names in college basketball, from DePaul. West Virginia obviously should be competitive, as they were last year, one of the better teams in college basketball. Obviously, Bob Huggins, a very historic coach, so I'd be shocked if I didn't see West Virginia making it to March.
Yeah, and now approaching the top half of our rankings. At number five, I have Texas Tech here. You know what happened this offseason at Texas Tech. Chris Beard is gone, and they promoted the head coach. Yeah, surprise, surprise. The two starters remain. Some bench players return. And, man, they did so well in the transfer portal. Devian Warren, Kevin O'Banner, Bryson Williams, and so many more names. They should compete, and I think they're a tournament team this year, even without Chris Beard.
Yeah, I agree, man. Texas Tech, for the cards that they were dealt, they definitely made really good turnout with what they got dealt. Obviously, they lost so much this offseason. Do return two stars and some of the bench players as well. Terrence Shannon Jr. coming back. Hopefully, he's healthy this year. He was dealing with a lot of health problems last year. Also, Kevin McCullough. I can talk about those three big transfers and plus more. Davion Warren, Hampton, O'Banner, Old Dominion, Bryson Williams, UTEP. Those are three key guys that came in, even with the departure of Chris Beard, who was probably one of the reasons why Texas Tech was a powerhouse. I wouldn't say powerhouse, but they were a very good team year in and year out. And this team made it, obviously, all the way to the finals a couple of years ago. So I really do think they should compete, but with a new head coach coming in, it should be a little bit interesting for Texas Tech. I still think they're a playoff, March Madness team, but I really do think they might struggle when it comes to the actual postseason.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. At number four, I have my dark horse here, Oklahoma State. Like I mentioned, four starters and some bench players do return. Obviously, that one starter gone is Cade Cunningham. They definitely have the pieces to replace him. Obviously, Avery Anderson's going to have a bigger role. Isaac Likele, he's going to have a bigger role. And Matthew Alexander Moncrief, I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to break out this year.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think a lot of people speculating him to break out as well. Oklahoma State is my number four team as well. Four stars, some of the bench players do return. Only guy they lose is our first overall pick, Cade Cunningham. Speaking of him, he didn't have a really good debut for the NBA. I don't know what's going on. A lot of NBA debuters did pretty well, and all the rookies have been doing pretty well so far. Cade, hopefully he turns up soon. But, they do return Avery Anderson III as their top option now. Malik talked about moves to Cisse from Memphis, Bryce Thompson from Kansas both coming in. I really do love Coach Mike Boynton. I think he's one of the most underrated and yet most animatronic and fun coaches to watch on the sideline. He's a really good coach, and he had a lot of great designs and plays against some teams that definitely resulted in wins. That's why Oklahoma State was a key contender, and they could have gone a little bit further, I think, in March Madness. That run got cut a little bit short. But I really do think this team's destined for success and should make it to back-to-back March Madness seasons.
Yeah, and speaking of the NBA, the Celtics got to figure it out soon, right?
Yep. I mean, I'm looking forward to college basketball. Celtics, I mean, if they keep this up, I will not be tuning into a game for them anytime soon.
Yeah, Celtics, you got 7 days to convince us why we should watch you guys, or else you know what we're watching. But, yeah, now approaching the top three, probably the easiest top three in any conference. Number three for me, the defending national champions, the Baylor Bears. One starter and some bench players return for the champs. They lose a lot, but a lot of key pieces are back. Obviously, Matthew Mayer is going to play a huge role. Everyday John, Adam Fragler, those are the couple rotation guys that are back for this team. And they did a good job recruiting, top 10 recruiting class. James Okinjo from Arizona. I still think they're a contender to repeat.
I definitely agree. They're a very good contender to repeat. And Baylor is my number three team as well. And this, like you said, the easiest top three in any conference you could have. Baylor and Kansas and Texas. So sorry to spoil it. You probably know who it is by now, obviously. But only one star and some bench players do return for the reigning champs, obviously. They lost a lot, but they do return the key pieces who you just talked about, Everyday John, Matthew Mayer, Adam Flagler. You could go on and on about who was coming back from that bench. So they'll definitely elevate to being the starting roles. And Akinjo, a key piece coming in from Arizona, some good freshmen as well. The really unfortunate part is Langston Love, one of the five stars that they got this season. He is out for the season with a torn ACL, I believe. Baylor still looks very good still. Cannot underestimate Scott Drew, one of the best coaches in college basketball, and just a really good two-way team. They usually are going to be every year. And I want to really watch out on the Division III transfer they got. I want to see how good he turns out. I don't remember his name, but I remember talking about him. I want to see if he fills the Adam Flagler role last year with Baylor's team. And if Scott Drew and them found a gem from D3, man, this might be the best recruiting this in the nation, I think, getting a D3 player to shine on the big stage.
Yeah, I think Adam Flagler already is a gem coming from Presbyterian. That's just such a random school if you don't know what college basketball is. He's exactly good.
And you saw if you haven't seen the stat on all of those transfers that came into Baylor last year, definitely look at that roster last year and where they came from and where they ended up. Because there's a stat on it, and it shows not many highly recruited guys came to Baylor, and they all blossomed and developed into a team that won a national championship. So it just shows the talent coming into high school doesn't really matter. It just matters about the heart and the work ethic. And if all that goes well, then you can win a national championship. And Baylor definitely defied the odds with all those guys being low-star recruits to making it to the national championship.
Yeah, and at number two, I have Texas Longhorns. Obviously, you hook them horns down if you're me. You hook them horns up if you're Matt. But, yeah, Texas, Chris Beard is a coach. You know Chris Beard already. He's one of the top coaches in college basketball. And two stars, the bench return, and that transfer class is arguably the best transfer class in college basketball. Christian Bishop, Trey Mitchell, Dylan Daisu, Devin Askew, and Timmy Allen. Those are all – they can all start for any program they want to, but obviously some of them are going to be regulated to bench roles just because of how good that team is. I just think Kansas is a lot better than them. Not a lot better.
I was just about to say something a lot better. No, I think it's a very close race between both these two teams. I am putting Kansas, though, at my number two spot. I mean, this might be a little bit biased, might not be, but I really do think it's a very close race between both of these two teams. Kansas looks very lethal, though. They returned four stars and most of the bench. Ojai Agbaji, David McCormack, Jalen Wilson all coming back. We can probably talk about Jalen Wilson a little bit. He did get suspended from Kansas, involved in a DUI, I believe. So I don't know, I haven't said how long he's out for, but that could be a key piece lost, depending on how severe the suspension is. So we don't really know too many details, but once we do, we'll let you guys know. But also, like you talked about, Remy Martin coming in from Arizona State, Yosef Yusefu coming in from Drake, some freshmen as well. Kansas is the top five team in the nation right now with all this talent, and obviously they got a great coach in Bill Self to lead them there.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. That is why Kansas is my number one team. Four stars, most of the bench to return, like you mentioned, Agbaji, McCormack, Christian Bourne, a name you forgot. I feel like they've been all in college basketball for like 5 years now. It's felt so long. And Yusufu, he's in from Drake. He had that big stretch of games where he just was absolutely dominant, just averaging 30 points. And Remy Martin, finally at the point guard, replacing Marcus Garrett. Huge boost offensively, defensively. You know what Garrett brings, but I think they're okay defensively. I think Kansas is the number one team in college basketball. Not the number one team. What am I trying to say? They're a top three team in college basketball right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think both Kansas and Texas are top five. Where I have both of them ranked, I don't know. I know they're both in the top five, though. But I really do think at the end of the day, I think Texas will be winning this Big 12. That is why I have them here at number one. It seems legit, man. I can finally say, welcome. This is the year. I'm telling you, this is the year. I was 1 year too early. And this year, I'm going to prove everyone wrong that I was just 1 year too early. I know last year, everyone made fun of me. I know. That's a very bad take, I guess. But this year, I'm going to prove everyone wrong. And this team returns two stars and most of the bench. Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey both coming in. And then the transfers, man. Christian Bishop, Creighton, Trey Mitchell, UMass, Dylan Disu, Vanderbilt, Devin Askew, Kentucky, Timmy Allen, Utah, obviously Marcus Carr, Minnesota. Watch out, Chris Beard and company. They got a loaded squad. I am really excited to watch Big 12 basketball, but especially Texas Longhorn basketball, because it is going to be an elite of the elite, and I'm very excited to see it hopefully in full display.
Yeah, Texas, obviously, you were national champions last year. Did not pan out well. The complete opposite for me, I chose that first-round upset. Will I choose that first-round upset again? Honestly, It really just depends on who they're facing. I just thought Albion Christian was just a very, very tough matchup for them last year because they were just one of the premier defensive teams, and you saw how bad Texas played against them, against their defense. I think Texas will go past this first round. I'm happy to tell you that.
Woohoo! That's music to my ears. And I really do think a couple of these teams have Sweet 16 / Final Four potential, definitely, coming in from the preseason polls at least. Obviously, as the season progresses, that could change. I really do think these top three teams have Final Four / Elite Eight potential with Texas, Kansas, Baylor. A couple of these other teams have chances to be dark horses in March Madness, like Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, maybe even in West Virginia. But overall, how many bids do you think that this Big 12 can get after seeing all this talent coming in?
I think they're going to get at least 5 bids, 6, 7. I think that's kind of a stretch. I'm very skeptical about West Virginia and any team below number 6. Obviously, we had the same top 5 in the teams. And after that, I think I'm a little skeptical of all of those teams, West Virginia, TCU, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Iowa State. I don't know how that's going to pan out. They just got to steal a couple games from the top 5, honestly, and they're in.
I agree 100%. I think top 5 for sure are all should be in, at least coming in from the preseason standpoint. I think it could go 6 deep. I don't see it going 7 deep this year. 6 is probably the highest number. I think 5 right now is the magic number, though, for this Big 12 conference, because these top 5 teams, I think they're a little bit in a tier above in their own, at least, in comparison to the bottom half teams as well. So I really do think it's going to be a very close race. But I think a couple of these teams like TCU, Kansas State, West Virginia, and maybe even Oklahoma can compete. And like you talked about, they got to steal some games with these top 5 teams to have a chance at making it to March. If they do that and win the games they're supposed to win in the non-conference portion of it, they got a good chance to make it. But I really do think it comes down to who has a better resume at the end of the day with the Big 12 and also all the other Power 5 / high major conferences as well. So I think it's going to be a very tough battle. But I really do think it's probably going to be 5, but maybe even 6 or 7.
Yeah, and we forgot a piece of breaking news. Javonte Perkins is out for the season with a torn ACL. Obviously from St. Louis, my A-10 player of the year, preseason player of the year, and one of my favorite players in all of college basketball. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, very tough, man. When I saw the news, I sent it to you. I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. And for the A-10, man, that's a huge loss for St. Louis. I definitely have them dropping a couple spots now. And I really do think now it's definitely a two-team race in the A-10 with Richmond and St. Bonnie's. So, unfortunate for St. Louis, Javonte Perkins, man, it's a very tough blow. But depending on what he does, I expect him to prop. I don't know if he's going to try and redshirt or not, but if I were him, I'd try. But, I mean, he has played a ton of years in college basketball now, so I really don't know what he goes like from here. But there's also one piece of breaking news I have to talk about before you talk about your spiel.
Yeah, I think the A-10 now is easily just a 2-bid conference now, not even a chance of a 3-bid. I think it's a 2-bid max conference now.
Agreed. And the other piece of breaking news we have, Kofi Coburn, man. He is getting suspended, I believe, 3 games it is, for a violation, I believe, with the NIL rules before they were installed. Honestly, unsure about the details, but we do know he's only suspended for 3 games. These 3 games, I believe they played Jackson State, another mid-major team, and Marquette in those 3 games. So Illinois, it should be okay without Kofi Coburn, but obviously a little piece of breaking news we had to talk about. So what are your thoughts on Kofi Coburn suspended for 3 games?
Yeah, very interesting. I'm still confused about what rule this is. I hear like all the media saying it's ridiculous. I'm just going to go with the media. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous indeed. I mean, so many people have probably found ways to get around this rule, but I really do think it's a little bit extreme, but obviously 3 games is 3 games, so it is okay. But I mean, he'll be all right. I mean, he's still an All-American in my eyes. He's my Big Ten Player of the Year still, so I mean, none of that's going to change. If he's out for 3 games, he's still going to be a beast. So hopefully he proves them all wrong once he gets there.
Yeah, and I have something to point out. Kofi Coburn is suspended 3 games for selling his jerseys. And Will Wade has not been suspended yet.
Exactly. And we'll talk about the SEC later, obviously, the last episode we do. But next up is the Pac-12. Very excited to get to the Pac-12, man. There's a lot of great teams in this Pac-12. But, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for it. A lot of dark horses from the Pac-12 that came in. UCLA and Oregon State, obviously the two big ones that made miraculous Cinderella runs in this March Madness tournament last year. Will they do it again? We will see. But I'm very excited to get to it right now.
Yeah. We'll be back with the Pac-12 tomorrow. Obviously, 1 week left to the college basketball season. I'm just so excited, man. I'm excited to just stay in my dorm and just watch college basketball all day long for the next 4+ months.
Yeah, man. And obviously, there's 1 week left, and so much left to talk about, and just so much more to see. And obviously, Clemson, I'm really excited to see what they have in store after watching that game. Just put me in the college basketball mood, man. So, yeah, 1 week left till the season begins, and I believe that is all we have. So, thank you guys for tuning in, as always. And it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. 1 week left.